morning, Patriots. Probably round two for some. And it is Monday, June 21st. And in case you missed it over the weekend, Joe Biden, the hand puppet, is still acting as president. Kamala Mattressback Harris is still acting as vice president. And Jim Hansen is still running our nation with his Muppet Show. And, yes, Lucifer is still in control, at least of the governance side of it, not its part of our lives. Yep, it's another day in America with a big K. Like, I hope you like that one. It's good. Is it a good to be experiencing what a communist country is like? Not. Phew, my goodness, this is horrible. But I'll tell you where you're not going to find communist country. You're not going to find communist country in Mike Lindell and his company MyPillow, a CEO that loves Christ, that credits Christ for his success, and who's waging war single-handedly as one of the only CEOs in the country that has a spine. He's one of the few leaders we have because he's not just talking stuff. He's doing stuff. I mean, like literally building jobs, doing outreach programs, building a media station. He's not messing around. So we're going to support him because that's what good patriots do, is we support great patriots, especially since the cancel culture likes to pretend that they can take his sales away. But no, that ain't going to happen with us. So what do? We use the BARDS code, B-A-R-D-S. That's right. You've got a special code, BARDS. And where do you go? You go to MyPillow.com. That's right, MyPillow.com, and you use the promo code BARDS, and you save all sorts of money on great products to support a great American company and a great CEO. And if you want to talk to somebody, you head on over there and you say, wait a minute, I don't want to do this online. I want to call and talk to a person. So you dial 800-975-2939, 800-979-2939. Use that BARDS code, get all sorts of savings, and because Mike's going to be speaking at Bard's Fest on the 27th of August, you need to have yourself a pair of My Slippers. So make sure and get yourself a My Slippers pair as well, which is another 40% off. It's 40% off of My Slippers when you use that Bard's code. 40% off. So get on over there. We want to see a million patriots in My Slippers across this country. Million patriots. My Slippers, my Revolution. I don't think they have that on their site, but they should. And they have my pillows and my blankets and my doggy beds and my comforters and my everything. And then we can have a My Slipper Revolution. That's just what we're going to do at Bard's Fest. So MyPillow.com, 800 number is 800-975-2939. Code for promo code for great discounts, B-A-R-D-S, Bard's. Just like in the name Bard's FM, except to take off the FM. You have Bard's in the front. I think you can remember that. Oh, and just so I say it, MyPillow has now contributed over $40,000 to Bard's Fest. That's right. What a great company. All right, Patriots. Today is Monday on Storm Dispatch. And no, we're not going to do Federalist Paper number 73. That'll be for tomorrow. Because today I want to talk about fear. The word irritates me. And it irritates me because fear is primarily in our head. And when I look back at our founding fathers and I think about the consequences of what they were doing and the cost of what it was that they did, that should have been a place for fear. But they never quit. They never hesitated. And they continued to fight without fear. In fact, it shows you the risk that they were taking in the last sentence of the Declaration of Independence. And for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. They very much understood what was at risk. The minute that they signed that document, they were all now hunted and hated by the king. When we had the boycotts that occurred from 1765 to 1775, That was a time when women led those boycotts. To do those boycotts meant that you were facing treason, potentially being hung or put into a prison ship offshore. See, these were real consequences. They weren't the hand-wringing nonsense of worrying about whether you were going to get infected by some cold virus that slipped in at night and crawled into your soup and then crawled into your nose and gave you a little sniffles. This entire world we are in now has become reduced to such levels of fear that it almost is paralyzed. And while we have a very strong base of people pushing against the injection, we still don't see a lot of action. We still see a lot of hand-wringing and apathy and waiting for somebody to take action for us. At the core of most of this, I believe, is fear. I think people are afraid of what will happen if we offend the police. What will happen if my neighbors find out I'm a believer in God? What will happen if my neighbors find out that I really do support President Trump? What will happen if my neighbors find out that I didn't take the injection? How will I fit in? What will happen in my church community if I stand up and tell them they're all going to hell because they took the injection? That might not go over well, but at least it would be on the right path to truth. What has happened to that power? I mean, we go into church. Church is a great one, all right? And it's like this environment where we're all supposed to love all, and we're all supposed to be all, and we're all supposed to be there like, oh, it's okay. We're all going to hold hands. No, I'm not going to hold hands if you took the injection. You turned your back on God. Now own it, all right? And if you want to get back with God, get on your knees. And if your pastor or your preacher doesn't like that, then he can find another job. And if the church agrees with the pastor or the preacher that they all should get injected, then find another church. This thing is not a game. And the outcome of this is not just another, you know, like they said before, this is not another four-year election. This is not just another injection, okay? This one's the whole thing right here. They've gone for everything. And it's going to get more intense. There's going to be more viruses released. There's going to be, I guarantee it. I mean, we're in a biological warfare on a global level, and you're seeing the collapse of whole institutions, and they are down to the final rung of this. And the only thing they can do is to start trying to destroy all of humanity and to destroy as much of America as possible. This war is going to wage for some time. You're going to see a lot of losses. You're going to see a lot of pain because we're in a war. And America needs to wake up and realize that we're in a war. It's quit diddling around with themselves, thinking about, well, it's just going to be okay now that I get to go back to my restaurant. Now that I get to go back and have my favorite cup of coffee inside with my vanilla twist, it's all going to be okay. No, it's not. It's not. This is going to be a disastrous process if we don't stay ahead of it. And the first place we have to stay solid in is our faith and relationship to God. These people are playing for keeps. They aren't people you invite over for dinner. They aren't people you go down and hang out with at the local coffee shop. They want your soul, and they want to control everything about you, and they're willing to do anything they can to get it. It's a war. That's what wars do. You win or you lose. I don't know how this comes out. I know one thing, and this is where I get to fear. It doesn't matter. That's right. It doesn't matter. Now, why would I say that? Look, we're in the realm of men right now. We're dealing with the corrupted institutions of men. Our mission is bigger than theirs. And when we start to embrace how big our mission is, we start to realize we're in a pretty good hands. I've said this quote before, and I hold this quote before me because it keeps things in perspective. It comes from a book called Illusions. And I tell you, it's funny because I say this, and people like to get their back up. They're like, damn, this isn't true. This can't be. Just put it in your head and accept it, and then if you accept it, everything gets easy. That's the bottom line. And the quote is, we're all going to die a horrible and painful death, so enjoy the ride on the way through. And when you can accept that and accept that sort of walk that Christ did here on earth, that was a very horrible and painful death of the physical, and he was able to walk this land and do so with such power, such grace, such strength, such warrior fight, then you're all good. There's no fear in that. God's got you. We've already won the biggest lottery out here. It's called life. As long as we stay that course with Christ in our heart and we're into God. It's pretty easy. But when you let fear creep in, that's you allowing fear to creep in. It's not fear that God gave you because God's told you have no fear. Matter of fact, 366 times worth of telling you have no fear depending on what version of the Bible you're in. Fear is a head game and it sits in your head. Why do you think the enemy is trying to control your mind? And why does the Bible always say follow your heart? God speaks through your heart. This is an important time that people keep their head about where fear is and what fear is in general. This world that we are in is controlled through fear, through the fanning of flames through fear, and it's been very effective. We have a youth that has no anchor point in God or faith as a general rule. I won't say none because there's some amazing young patriots out here that are fighting, and God bless them. And they are, those that don't have God are worshiping this injection, worshiping to the point that they are mandating that others get it, that they are judging those that don't have it. Well, we'll just see how all that comes about when they discover that a large percentage of them now aren't sterilized, because that was the design and part of what this would do. We'll see how they feel when, and some of this is going to be pretty ugly, because some of them are going to begin to realize it as they're transitioning into this new era, this new world of transhumans. I don't know how that transition works, but I can tell you one thing. They're not going to be who they thought they were, and they're going to lose control of themselves, and somewhere deep down inside, they will probably have a little echo of what they were, but it's going to be a sad day. If you haven't heard the album, the musical album on the first side, 2112 by Rush, you need to listen to it and pay attention to the words. That was written in the 1970s, and it was a glimpse of where this dystopian world is headed. Run by the priests of the technocrats. It's a dark look at where they have always wanted to take us. And now the technology's in the open to make it happen. And worse, people are accepting it. So that leaves us. We're on the outside of this. I don't know what our numbers are. No one really knows what the numbers of the anti-vax and faith followers are. But I do know this. We are strong. Very strong. And we're going to continue to be stronger as long as we keep our feet solid on faith and our worship through Christ. And that means number one rule, you can't have fear. If you feel fear, which anxiety is a feeder of fear, then you need to take a breath, push into God. He's got this. But when part of what fear generates from is our anticipation, or worse, our expectation of how things are going to be. So let's sit back and let's look at this for a minute from the colonist point of view. I want you to imagine, first of all, the first thing you're facing. You're under pressure in the United Kingdom. You're being pressured to join the Industrial Revolution. You're being pressured to get off your lands. Taxes are getting high, and you're given an opportunity to go to a new world. You don't know much about it. You don't really know much of anything about it, other than it's this new promised land, and all the sales points and everything are what they are, but you don't really know. What you need to know is you need to buy a ticket, get on board a ship, and you're going to travel on that ship for several months across the sea. You probably have never been on a ship before. And you're going to have with you a lot of what you need to survive. And there's all sorts of unknowns in that. There's the issue of food and getting stuck at sea or its weather. There's also the issue of health and disease, which spread among those inside. You're not going to get to have a lot of freedoms because on this ship, it isn't like it's a luxury cruise where you get to go walk up around deck. You might spend days in the hull without seeing any sunlight. When you arrive, you'll have to go out and find a colony. If you were part of a colony, you might venture out to find some land on your own, but it's a wild land. And everything about what you are now is going to be defined about what you can do and what you can create, and ultimately where your relationship is with God. But all the modern privileges that you were accustomed to, whether you could access them or not by virtue of your economics, all those modern privileges are gone. Now, as you go along in this existence in the colony, you're still part of Great Britain. You're still part of the United Kingdom. Governance is, and security is provided by them. But increasingly, that tyranny gets worse. Until such a point that it finally breaks, and you're going to make a leap of faith as a nation. Now, you're bound together by this point as an overall control by the king. Everybody has a single alliance to the king. So even though you may not get along, at least you know your governance is one of the king. You may not like the governance, but at least it's the governance of the king. It's what you have known. But now you're going to make that break, and you're going to go to war, and you did go to war, and suddenly people start dying, and those troops that you were counting on start killing other people. Now, you're at a breaking point here where you have to make a decision. Are we going to go forward with this and fight, or are we going to cower in fear and get on our knees? Well, obviously, the colonists decided to go forward and fight for their freedom and liberty and stayed off their knees. This is an ugly war. It's a war where some people in the cities are believing in the British rule. Other people in the colonies are not. You have spies that are working within the British ranks for both sides. Some spies are being deployed to find out what the Patriots are doing, and other spies are being deployed to get into what the British are doing. The consequences every time you're caught is death. The army of the Patriots is worn down. It doesn't have a lot of money. Just check out what happens in Valley Forge. People literally walking around on the snow with bloody feet because they have no boots, no socks, and the cold and the damage to their feet has just ripped their feet to blood. That's a real world where things are palatable and tangible before you, where death is before you, risk is before you. That's real fear. You can taste it. You know that somebody's literally out to kill you if you make a mistake. You know that the world around you is dangerous and it will take your life. And yet fear does not predominate with the colonists. Because I would argue that at the end of this, most of what they have are strong foundations in faith in God, which, thank goodness, came from some powerful ministers and pastors who kept their churches open, by the way. Those were amazing stories to dig into. They're amazing histories to learn. And it's all reflected in when we get into the Federalist Papers, because it's deep within there, this struggle, this reality that people were very cognizant of war and the consequences of war and what the costs and risks were. Today, this is Pamperedville. People get their panties in a wad because they can't get to McDonald's drive-thru to get their Big Mac right. People have a fit over Starbucks making their coffee wrong. This is the world we're in now. It's so fragile that one little thing out of place and people will fall to their knees and give in to tyranny. And yet, it tells us that that's a violation of who we are as citizens of the United States. As it reads in the Declaration of Independence, but when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object invices a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for the future security. It is their duty. In other words, if you're an American and you're allowing this to happen without having a voice in this matter, without speaking up boldly every day, you violated your duty as an American. Now, I can't stand weakness, really. And I can't stand the feckless whininess that goes on in this modern culture when people are more worried about when their Amazon Prime is going to get delivered and it got delayed a day than the reality of what's going on in the real world. As a country, we are deeply sick at the core. We have a generation that believes, we have a whole society, a certain portion of the society that believes that aborting and killing unborn children is a choice and it's okay. We have an entire society that believes that it can't get a job unless it goes to university and gets a degree. We have an entire generation that's growing up believing that racism is normal as long as we don't call it racism, as long as we call it progressive politics or whatever else they're teaching. Critical race theory. That's going to fall a lot on parenting, by the way. Parents that are still sending their children off into the indoctrination camps, known as public schools, you're contributing to the beast. Get your kids out of those. I don't care what the cost. It's your children's life. God did not ask you to live a convenient life when you took on the responsibility of having children. Do what is needed to protect them and to raise them properly. I'll tell you, you wouldn't want me being God's enforcer. I'd be like, excuse me, you did what? You sent your kids to public school? Okay. Let me check down here. It doesn't say that in the Bible to say things in the public school. You didn't have time? Okay. All right. Right over there, there's the short elevator. It's to the, you're going to go get on that. And we'll only give you a short little stay, but you're going to go to the Lake of Fire for a little while. That should reform you. I'm not, you know, this is the problem we have in our world is that people don't understand consequences. And because of that, they're not accountable. So we go back to our early period of our colonists. I mean, consequences were real. Oh, you didn't deal with the garden today because you were not feeling bad. You were feeling bad. You were under the weather. Well, guess what? You might have just lost some of your crop and you won't eat for the winter. You didn't tend to the animals today. Well, maybe one got out. Maybe the wolves or the coyotes got in and killed a few of them. Guess what? You may not eat in the winter. I'll tell you one of the, this story literally gets to my gut every time I tell it. This is a real story. It happened in, I have to think back to the year. I think it was 1999 or 1998, one of the two. Real story. Watch this one. So in Minnesota, I was living up there. I was working as a national director of marketing for a company. Now, the way that a lot of people work in the farming and cattle industry is that they'll have a big cash out at the end of the year. So they might leverage a lot of capital to get their crops in the ground, for example. And then when harvest comes, they get paid. So there's a lot of deferred expenses. So this particular farmer had just got cashed out and sent his wife down to do the cash out. And on the way back, she decided she was going to help expand the family's income by stopping at a local casino, an Indian-run casino. And in a few hours, all $80,000 of their income for the year evaporated. You see, consequences. People don't live with him enough. They get lured by the traps of big wealth and easier life. Life's never been easy. It takes a lot of diligence, a lot of conviction. It takes a relationship with God to guide us. There's always been booby traps and mines and around us. Today it's a fake virus. Before it was a real issue like wars with American Indians or fighting with the British or lack of access to medical support or lack of knowledge of the native medicine to understand how to cure yourself. It was the failures of crops. Think of the people that settled the West. I mean, there's one for you. Living in the city the whole time, you decide that, honey, we need to break out of this. We're going to go and we're going to start our new life in the West. You spend your savings, whatever you have, to get the basic supplies. You head down to St. Louis, which is where they have all the suppliers now getting you ready to go on these wagon trains heading out West. Chances are you probably haven't run a wagon train for a while. And you can see the pictures. I mean, some of the stuff people are bringing, they're bringing the bureau and they're bringing all these things that they thought were important. Because they're living in this kind of fantasy. But reality sets in really quick on that trail. Some make it fine. Others perish. Some settle into homesteading. And they just don't make it. And doesn't make it doesn't mean that they die, that means they just can't endure where they are in homesteading. And so they give up the homestead and they move back, often broke. But you know what? I don't ever criticize those that move back after trying to homestead because, man, it took some serious backbone to get out there and do that. There are so many parts about the way we grew up as a nation that took so much courage and so much fearless pressing into the fight. Fearlessness. And where we sit today is we live in this cerebral society where fantasies of fear roam around and lurk around in the brain and cause people to literally fall apart. Why do you think they push virtual reality so much? Because they can control your whole perception of what life is. They can control your emotions, your serotonin levels, your dopamine levels, your adrenaline levels. They can control it all through ocular goggles or ocular perspective on the world. And then that's the other question is why in the world would you want to live in a virtual reality space? But that's another world, another discussion for another time. And those that promote that technology, they're as bad as those that use it. Like those that are creating the software, creating all that. Virtual reality is, it is truly, in its sense, is so far away from who we are as humanity, so far away from the tangible place of what we are and what we should be. It's all about someone else controlling your perception of reality. And this is why they'll sell it. They'll say you can experience another reality. Yeah, no kidding. That someone else is engineered to control you. And it's in those places when we get used to this whole idea of people controlling us, that people then accept that whatever they say is true. Now take away God, and those people that tell you what's really going on, they become the new demigods that you worship. It's true idolatry. So look at the people that are in play. We know those on the left absolutely worship Barack Obama. We know that they worshiped Hillary Clinton. We know that they worshiped James Comey. They know that they worshiped and are worshiping Anthony Fauci. I hate to break it to them, but that's not a real good resume of people that you've been following. And yet they do. I mean, Anthony Fauci's actually done a child book on how he saved the world. And parents are out here going to give him that book. I guarantee it. There's enough idiots out here walking around believing in the Fauci lie. All of this generates at its core from a fear that's generated by the system. Problem, solution, reaction. All of that is generated by a fear that they generate, and then they install with that the solution after they get the reaction. People react. What are we going to do? Oh, let us show you the solution. It's going to be Anthony Fauci. And people say, oh, that's wonderful. I was afraid I was going to die, but you brought me a savior, and he's such a nice little man. He would never do any harm to me. Can we have him over for dinner? Probably not, but I'll bet he'd be happy to have you over as dinner. The entire place we are in right now is centered in a society that has fallen to its knees in the worship of fear. There's another portion of the society that has stood on its feet, strong with its sword of the Spirit and its shields of truth. And the only thing we bow to is God. And that relationship has no fear. And these are the two worlds we are now in. And the world that is on its knees succumbing to fear will continue to ask for, continue to accept the injection. I have no idea where that road's going, but I can assure you one thing, it is not going to a good place. Because now that they've modified their immune system, those shots are going to increase. Because if they don't, they will all die, so they need to give them something new. And it's a cycle that they've all now accepted. They will auger them down into the ground until ultimately their bodies are little more than corpses because the soul within them is dead, and whatever possesses them, I have no idea, but I don't want to be around it. That's like zombie apocalypse. So we come to a place where we have to make a decision in our world, a decision that ultimately every day is one we have to make when we get up. We make it from the time that we awaken. We make it in every breath and step that we make during the day. We even carry it with us in our sleep. And it's a simple question. Who do you worship? And what do you worship? It's not difficult. But if you worship fear, you have no future. This country is not made for you. If you worship fear, You will be paralyzed, and only you will only find freedom through a worship of idols and false prophets. And that goes even to those people within faith. If you're worshiping fear, you're going to be constantly trying to predict the future, constantly trying to map out what's going to happen next. Are we in the book of Revelation? I have no clue. And I don't care. I've said this many times. People say, well, why is that? I don't care. I truly don't. This is what I care about. I care about every single day digging deeper into my relationship with Christ and God. I care about every single day walking that path that God has before me to love Him above all things, to live a life fearlessly, and to use my gifts and talents as God directs. I worry about serving Him as much as I can. If there's any one fear, it's that I have a very deep respect, love, and a measure of fear in that relationship with God. Not somebody I want to cross paths with, just so I say it, in the wrong way. But everything else, it's just like, whatever, no fear. And as long as we are right in the moment at all times, focused on what's before us, not what the tomorrows are, not what the yesterdays were, other than to pull the wisdom from the past, stay in the moment. God's got this. We're going to walk this path where God wants us. And you know what? This could get really ugly as a journey. And I'm okay with that. I'm going to be wise. I'm going to pay attention to what's happening. I'm not going to sit idle. I'm going to make sure that there's preps for food. I'm going to make sure that there's preps for many different things in our lives so that we can assure some sort of continuity. And most importantly, so it's not just the family, but it's also those neighbors or extended family that you know are going to come wandering in if things go bad. It's taking more accountability and responsibility in life, not relying on the corporate supply structures and dependency on corporate jobs. It's constantly looking ahead in one way, which is to look at your vulnerabilities to say, how can I improve that each day to make myself more solid in my walk with God? And it's ensuring that every single thing that I do constantly works closer to a walk with as Christ would do Himself. That's it. Everything else, so tomorrow the sky falls, the earth cracks open. I don't know. Volcanoes erupt, big deal. What am I to do about it? And that's the whole point. I know people that have lived this way where there's literally, and in fairness, to be true confession on this, in my 20s, that was a big concern of mine. Like, okay, where are we going to live? And what are the future analysis going to show? And where might be the safest place in America to be when the whole collapse happens? Okay. And then after a while, I sat back, I kind of scratched my head and went, that was kind of dumb. Because there's no way I can predict that. So the bottom line is, we are where we are because God has us here. Be smart about how we live. Have no fear about tomorrows. Don't have any fears about this nonsense that's before us. Let's do our work in trying to get those that have taken the injection to get on their knees and accept Christ in their heart and truly repent and hope that that helps them, because there's not a lot else that can right now. Because once this stuff is in you, you're not getting it out of you. And that in itself should tell you everything. Once it's in you, it's not leaving you. So you've put a foreign substance in you that is designed to modify your DNA and to grow within you like a nanotech does. It's not leaving your body. It's staying there. Not a good choice for those that took it. For us, that pressure on us is going to continue to increase to try to bring us over to their side. That could get a little dicey at times. It's okay. It's part of the walk God has us on. Stay true to faith. Stay true to your love in Christ, and live without fear. That's it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are blessed in this relationship that we have with you, and we ask you, Father, to help awaken the reality that through you there is no fear, to strengthen every believer with the reminder that through you there is no fear, and to base our wisdom on that principle without fear, to see clearly with eyes to see, to hear clearly with ears to hear, and to not see the world through the optics of the fears that are generated and fanned by this media and information system that is constantly trying to control the perception of reality through fear. Let us find that walk truly in that walk of truth, that walk of light, to avoid any of the pitfalls that fear sets before us. Live fearlessly. And let our hearts be open truly to all that you bring as a result, to have a resolve that we will not hesitate or bow to an evil simply because we feel threatened by a fear that we should know you will protect us on all things. So, Lord, we continue to pray for the clarity of this walk, the strength of our walk, and the conviction that we will live this life without fear. Fear is a liar, and the only truth that we have is through you, Lord. And we say these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Have no fear. When you start to have fear, make a cup of coffee. Works every time. Make it strong too, an espresso. And then go run around the block like 100 times or something. I mean, seriously, and I'm being a little sarcastic, but I'm not. When we have fear, it's usually our mind that's creating it. And we've got too much idle time on our hands. Get busy. If you're having fear, get busy doing something that'll move you closer to God, move you closer to that place of being accountable in our life. It'll go away. It has to. We can't live in a world where we are fearing the unknown when God has told us that he's got it all. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. Prayers and the relationship we have with God removes fear. God's got this. He's with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God will win. So have a blessed day. I'll see you tonight for Bards FM. Until then or until the next time, God bless and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal, but that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again.
Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push, we climb, we never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray, we stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.